Welcome to the Disability Foundation podcast for people with an interest in disability, health, well-being, community, and complementary therapies. Our charity has been offering accessible, affordable well-being support to people with disabilities, their families and carers, and NHS staff for over 25 years. Join us as we explore the topics that are important and meaningful to our community. Welcome to the Disability Foundation podcast. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Julia.
I'm delighted to share with you that we have our very first guest ever on the podcast today. I'd like to welcome Layla.
Hi.
Hey, Layla.
Hi, Layla. Hi. Now, Layla, if I'm correct, you are the ADHD coach for the Disability Foundation. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Lovely. I have a lot of questions. I think, though, let's start with, what is ADHD for those who are listening who don't know?
Well, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, is a neurodevelopmental disorder. It's linked to differences in brain structure, function, the way our brain is wired. So it affects both children, adults, and generally runs in the family. It's basically genetic. ADHD is characterized by difficulty in focus and attention, hyperactivity, impulsivity, and these are the main characteristics. Although hyperactivity in adults later disappear, or I guess it evolves into inner restlessness, or cognitive hyperactivity, or fidgeting. And people with ADHD may struggle to stay on task, finish tasks, or even start a task, or struggle with organization, staying organized, problem with time management, and also experiencing emotional dysregulation, because ADHD affects brain areas that control emotions. It makes it hard for us with ADHD to manage feelings. This could lead to quick mood change and strong reactions. So basically, that's what ADHD is about.
Wow, thank you. It sounds like it impacts lots of different areas, or can impact lots of different areas of life. Can you tell us what is ADHD coaching then?
Well, ADHD coaching is a partnership, is a collaborative approach between the client and the coach. It focuses on helping ADHDers with developing practical tools, strategies that are tailored to the unique way, specific way that particular person think or generally operate in life. So it's about addressing common challenges, as I mentioned earlier, like staying organized, managing time, or improving focus, managing emotions, while at the same time embracing the strengths that come with ADHD. So ADHD coaching provides kind of a structure, accountability in a supportive partnership.
That's amazing. I know so many people who could benefit from ADHD coaching. And I think I also know quite a few people who've only realized now that they probably have ADHD. They've had it since childhood and they didn't realize that they had it. And now it's being talked about more and they now feel the need to have some support. So that's really, really interesting. What led you to become an ADHD coach, Layla?
Well, my journey into ADHD coaching is basically rooted in my lifelong passion for justice, human rights, advocacy. You know, I'm originally from Iran, and coming from that country, I've witnessed the harsh realities of repression, discrimination, especially against women. Losing my husband to such atrocities as a young woman, as a young mother, it deepened my commitment to speak out for those facing injustices. So this drive to advocate naturally extended to ADHD after my own diagnosis. It kind of fueled my passion for ensuring that ADHDers feel heard, supported, empowered. So, because as Julia said, adults with ADHD, particularly in the UK, they face major challenges due to undiagnosed ADHD, delayed diagnosis, limited supports. I mean, I experienced these challenges firsthand and understand the frustration. So my diagnosis was a turning point.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, suddenly, I mean, I was diagnosed at in my late 50s.
Wow.
Suddenly, my life made sense. Every struggle, every success made sense. I realized that for decades, I've navigated life unaware that my ADHD has actually been behind all my struggles, all my challenges, as well as my success. So I realized ADHD hadn't been a weakness for me. It has been a superpower. You know, because in a, us ADHDers, we have traits like intensity, hyperfocus. These are, I realized they were strengths that had empowered me. I have a personal ADHD-fueled story of, I call it determination, defiance. If we have time, I can touch upon it. So I became a coach to help others to also reframe their struggles, their challenges of ADHD, unblock their potentials to overcome these challenges, not despite ADHD, but because of ADHD.
Honestly, it warms my heart so much to hear you talking because I really think a practitioner who's been through something, their own journey with some sort of difficulty, who then is offering back, okay, so you found you had struggles in your life, you had particular struggles because of the context in which you grew up and the things going on in your home country and things like that. And with your ADHD, but you found your way through. Like there were struggles, and then you found, and also their strengths. And I'm sure the diagnosis was a godsend. And then you could go, okay, I'm going to learn how I'm going to work with this. And now I'm going to show other people how to work with this.
Absolutely.
Just, I've got chills, Layla.
So am I. It's also the way you show the positivity of, like Rebecca said, your lived experience, where you're coming from, and now wanting to give back is really significant, and it's so much part of the Disability Foundation's ethos as well. I think we've all come to the Disability Foundation with something and want to bring something, and also it shows the upside of disability, really. It can be empowering, actually, I think.
I agree with you. I think my core coaching philosophy is aligned with TDF's philosophy to highlight empowerment, dignity, self-acceptance in ADHD people, and kind of cultivating a kinder inner dialogue.
I'm curious, and I'm sure some people listening will be curious, how is coaching, and particularly ADHD coaching, because obviously that's what you do, how is coaching different from counseling, different from therapy? Because I know that they all might overlap a bit, but they're also very distinct things.
Great question. Coaching is an kind of action-driven approach. It's future-focused. Therapy is more about mental health, exploring emotions, past experiences. So coaching doesn't replace therapy, but it kind of complements it by focusing. If, for example, therapy is about why, coaching is about how to move forward. ADHD coaching is about working with the brain, not against it. So, coaching kind of creates, as I said earlier, practical, personalized strategy to overcome the current challenges and move forwards.
It's like a pathway in a way, isn't it?
What was coming to my mind is how to use your ADHD to become a superhero, as a superpower in your life.
Absolutely. So it's about using your own strengths, inner strengths, and using the traits of ADHD, change them into strengths, combine them with the right strategies through coaching. You can become a superpower. Exactly. That's the right description.
Well, you know, as we're talking, I'm aware of something that it's a big conversation for another time, but that, you know, I certainly grew up in a world that, and it's still that way, that is, it's very ableist thinking, isn't it? That we think that someone should walk over being in a wheelchair. We think that one is better than the other, but actually one's not better than the other. You know, there's a superpower in however you are, however your body is, however your brain thinks. There's strength and power in diversity. We need that.
I mean, I was having a conversation at the weekend about, oh, this is the normal way you would do it. And that's something that I feel so strongly about. What is normal? There is no such thing as normal. That's outdated. It's old fashioned. People who feel that there's a normal definitely need some enlightenment, I think, because there is no such thing. And I think that, you know, the work that you're doing, ADHD coaching, is supporting people who maybe have been told all along that their behavior or the way they approach life isn't normal. No, it's just different. You know, I was always told I'm a highly sensitive person, I'm emotional, I'm a drama queen. And no, that's just who I am. You know, why is that not accepted? Why do I have to be normal? And I think for many years, I thought there was something wrong. You know, not obviously, I don't have any kind of diagnosis, but I would think that my approach to life was wrong. And obviously, through the work that I've been doing at the Disability Foundation for years and through my own lived experience of disability, I've recognised that actually, no, I'm not wrong at all. It's the people who think people are normal. Like, there is a normal. There is no such thing. And those are the people that are, you know, on a different level.
Yes.
I'm a bit off track, but I think it does link to the work that you're doing. What would you say the most rewarding part of your work with ADHD and as an ADHD coach is?
The most rewarding part is seeing people transform, as you just said, their perspective of ADHD from a challenge into a strength. Watching ADHDers understand themselves better, overcome their barriers, thrive with confidence. This is incredibly fulfilling to help people with ADHD realize that their unique traits like creativity, intensity, hyperfocus, they're not limitations, they're assets. They could be assets. And knowing I can support someone to embrace their potentials, especially after years of feeling misunderstood, frustrated, it really makes...
Lonely. People can feel lonely as well when they're not understood.
Absolutely. Isolated. Yeah. So changing that, it's really deeply meaningful to me.
I have a question for you, which is, you mentioned that you weren't diagnosed until you were in your 50s. And I know some people who also weren't diagnosed until they were in adulthood. I think there's more conversation about ADHD now. We know more about it, but people our age maybe weren't diagnosed as children. They're only becoming diagnosed. So how would people who are listening to us now, who haven't had a diagnosis, but might suspect that they have ADHD, what might some steps be that they could take to either, do they need a diagnosis? I've got several questions. Do they need a diagnosis to come and see you? And if they do, how do they go about getting one?
Well, at TDF, we see both people who are diagnosed with ADHD, as well as those and waiting to be diagnosed or suspect they have ADHD. I had one client who recently came and said that, you know, the traits, the symptoms she was describing, it, she ticked every box. I'm not a psychiatrist, I told her, so I cannot diagnose ADHD for that. They need referrals to GP and psychiatrist, but from the symptoms, I could pick it up. So yes, TDF is open to ADHD coaching for those who read about ADHD and find these symptoms. Oh, that's me. You know, these days, I mean, in the last, I guess, decade, there has been more publicity around ADHD. So yes, they can come and you could see both groups.
You don't actually need an ADHD assessment to actually start ADHD coaching. It's not going to obviously do any harm. Even if you don't have an assessment, it can still help you.
Absolutely.
Make positive steps.
And you know that the waiting list for being diagnosed, I hear now, is even 6 to 8 years.
It's a really long time. It's really unbelievable.
So I have a question, which is, I have a couple of friends who have been diagnosed with autism and also ADHD. So do you see people in your practice at the Disability Foundation, who have ADHD but also autism or also other things?
Autism and ADHD sometimes overlap. They are both kind of neurodevelopmental conditions that can affect focus, social interactions, behavior. People with ADHD struggle with attention, with impulsivity, hyperactivity. With autism, those with autism face challenges with social communication, sensitivities, repetitive behaviors. But it's kind of, it happens that some individuals with ADHD, they have both, known as co-occurring or comorbid conditions, which sometimes can make diagnosis and support for them a bit more complex.
Would you see them in your practice?
I'm not trained for autism. I see people with ADHD. But if there is presenting issues are ADHD and someone also have autism, I mean, they could always benefit from ADHD coaching.
I think it's, again, a case of looking at the individual. Quite often, I think you do a discovery session, don't you?
Yes.
Before someone would book in to see whether, because obviously with any of the work that we do at the Disability Foundation, we make sure that the person is with the right therapist, the right therapy, and what works for one might not work for another. So I think that's why those discovery sessions that you do are really beneficial, because it can, you can identify before you start on a program of coaching to make sure that the client is actually going to benefit, because not everybody benefits from the same thing in the same way. Your involvement at the Disability Foundation obviously has had such a big impact on us because of the rise of ADHD, the need for ADHD coaching. That's not something that when we started 25 years ago, there was any need for. I know, and we do look at need and how needs change. So offering ADHD coaching is an incredible part of now of what we're doing and starting to do. We talked about what motivated you in your role, what motivates you in your role. What do you particularly like about being an ADHD coach working with the Disability Foundation as part of Team TDF? You know, it might be different to work that you're doing in other organisations with other charities maybe. Is there anything specific that you like about being part of Team TDF?
Yes, actually, because I came to TDF in 2018. I came to TDF because I suffered from osteoarthritis, severe back pain, neck pain, feet pain. After years of going treatments by NHS, providing no results, only being hooked on painkillers, I discovered these complementary therapies that TDF offers. Therapies like deep massage, acupuncture, they have significantly eased my pain. I just wish GPs would kind of recognize the importance of such treatments. There is evidence now. I was telling Rebecca earlier, there is scientific evidence supporting the use of therapy like massage therapy, deep tissue massage, how it helps chronic back pain. I continue benefiting from these therapies that TDF offers. So then I realized, well, because TDF is a registered charity, I found out that actually the work that you are doing is quite unique. When you go on Google and search, you hardly find any other organization offering therapies. But unfortunately, I know that you are struggling with funding. So I thought, okay, they helped me. I'm going to volunteer a few hours as an ADHD coach, hoping to support your efforts.
I'm so glad you did.
I think it came just at the right time as well, because we have had so many inquiries about ADHD coaching and from people saying, I can't get an ADHD assessment. I can't get any support. I've recently been diagnosed, particularly from adults. And I think that it was just the right time. You know, maybe if you'd come to us 10, 15 years ago, we wouldn't have been as aware of ADHD coaching. But now the demand outweighs what anyone can provide. And I think that's how we also assist the NHS. You know, we assist the NHS in so many different ways, kind of behind the scenes, working with lots of cancer patients, working with spinal injuries, working with patients on rehab wards. So we do that obviously with the hands-on therapies that we do. And we do some staff wellbeing, et cetera, et cetera. But we haven't got to the point where we're getting the referrals into the ADHD coaching. Lots of people are self-referring, but that will come the more people know that we're here.
Leila, I've got a couple more questions and then we'll wrap this up. One is that, you know, we've spoken a bit about how a lot of adults of our age aren't getting diagnosed till late. Do you work with children as well? What's the sort of age range that you work with?
I work with adults.
Okay.
18 upwards.
Okay, that's good to know. And then the last question I want to ask you is, we've heard about what ADHD is and what some challenges and benefits are and how coaching can help them. What haven't we asked you that you think is really important for people to know, that feels important to you? If there's a story you want to tell, anything that you want to share with our listeners that would help them go, huh, that might be for me.
Well, if you have time, I can briefly touch on a personal story, because earlier we talked about how important it is to embrace the differences. And ADHD coaching is about basically helping individuals with ADHD embrace their differences and kind of shift their mindset from ADHD being a challenge, a struggle, to being a strength. And they could use it as a powerful source to succeed. I myself am a clear example. And my story is that in 2000, I heard that, I told you I come from Iran. I heard at the time that the Iranian president at the time was going to OPEC event, oil exporting countries. It was an event hosted by the Chavez, Venezuelan president. I'm a human rights advocate. I thought, okay, this man is a symbol of repression, discrimination against women. I'm going to go to Venezuela and expose him. So the thought of publicly confronting this person, this symbol of oppression, was too compelling for me to ignore. So what happens here, you know, my impulsivity, a trait of ADHD, kind of kicked in, and it became creativity. I call impulsivity is when creativity is when impulsivity go right. So I made my decision, I'm going to go to Caracas and confront him. So before going, I had 24 hours. I prepared some eggs with red dye. I intended to use them to humiliate him publicly as a symbolic gesture. So I went to Caracas the next day. When I went there, my first priority as I arrived at the airport was to find the venue. At the time, of course, we didn't have navigation tools like Google Maps, things like that. So it wasn't easy. First, I went to a place. I thought, oh, I found it. Then I realized, no, this is a university campus, deserted. The weather was really bad. It was raining really badly. And I had only 1 hour. This Iranian president was arriving in an hour, and I didn't even know where the venue was. But again, my ADHD trait, a hyper-focus, it kicked in. I stayed hyper-focused on my mission. Then I decided to, I had to get a taxi, and all taxi drivers were warning me, oh, everybody's closed. There's a big international, you know, OPEC heads of states are coming, but everybody's closed. We don't go that area. But kind of, I managed to get one, and he took me. Actually, I got into the venue, and I had already made a card, kind of press card, complete with my photo, to gain access to go there as a journalist. So when I arrived, of course, there were heavy security, guard stations, every corner. I showed my press card. I claimed that I had a pass. They were skeptical. They asked for more details. I had nothing else. Here is my ADHD again. I leaned on my strengths, creativity, social intelligence, perseverance. These are kind of personality strengths that in coaching, actually, I ask clients to go through a test to discover their own personality strengths, and then we would use it in coaching. So mine was kind of creativity, social intelligence, perseverance. So I used a little bit of charm, and, you know, I complimented these guards with their uniforms. It kind of softened their stance and eventually kind of distracted them enough to give me the pass. So she said, okay, go in. I wouldn't believe my luck. As the driver went through, oh, there were additional securities, more barriers. So I used similar tactics as I did at the entrance to pass through the second barrier and the third one. One guard was so convinced that he offered to accompany me sitting in the taxi to ensure a safe passage. That allowed me to pass through multiple checkpoints until I arrived at the main area, exactly where I wanted to be. So the square was kind of filled with people, media crews, security personnel, dignitaries. So what I did, I just kind of blended in and started chatting with the journalists and, you know, appeared to be an ordinary member of the media. So I waited for this guy to arrive, this Iranian president. But you see, as I was waiting, the gravity of this kind of my mission kind of set in. I was thinking about all those women who've been suffering, who were suffering under his rule. So for me, it wasn't just a protest. It was a stand for those who were silenced. And when he arrived, that moment, I just approached him. I smiled and approached him. And then I slapped him in his face and threw the eggs. That sent his turban in the air. And nobody came to get me. So the crowd was kind of stunned in silence. And their security kind of froze because they weren't expected such a brazen act. And then cameras were flashing, taking, you know, my photo as I was chanting, filming and all that. At this stage, their security came and just escorted me out. They were very cautious because of the presence of media, dignitaries. They didn't want to use force. So
that was a brazen act.
Yes, it was.
And you think that brazen act, if you hadn't had ADHD, you might not have done that. Do you think that you turned your impulsivity into creativity, but you think that was your, because it is brazen, it's not even brazen, it's brave. And, you know, it takes a lot of you to do that. But, you know, and some people might call it impulsive. People might call it passionate.
Courageous.
Courageous. And, you know, you're clearly a change maker. You want change. And like you said, you're an advocate, but you're obviously a change maker too. Do you think that mainly stems from your ADHD, or would you think that someone, or you probably can't even answer it, but it's just the way my brain's thinking now. Would you think that would have happened if you didn't have ADHD traits, or can't, you wouldn't even be able to say probably? It's probably a rhetorical question.
Well, actually, right after my diagnosis, this experience, I was just remembering that, reflecting on it, I recognized that this was actually a testament to my ADHD-driven determination, hyperfocus, resilience, creativity, fearlessness.
Fearlessness, yeah.
They kind of came together and helped me achieve this act of kind of defiance that seemed impossible at the time to find. Yeah. So it was the ADHD brain that was fueled with interest, because our brain is interest-based. It all kind of, on that day, the risk kind of energized me rather than deterring me. So this is what ADHD, it was definitely ADHD, because I was very much into it. I was very much interested in accomplishing that. Mm-hmm. And I achieved it.
Leila, you're an extraordinary being. I got to tell you, I was on the edge of my seat that whole way. I didn't know where that story was going to go. I was on the edge of my seat. Like, I assumed it turned out well because you're here talking to us.
Well, the story is you don't believe what happened after that, but we don't have time now. Maybe some
We
other
might
time.
need to have a part two. We
Yeah,
might need.
but that is story of what happened after that is another story.
Incredible.
We
And
really hope that you'll share that with us another time.
hopefully, yeah.
That is amazing. Leila, thank you so much for your time today, your energy, your presence, your stories, for sharing about yourself and your ADHD journey, and also how you help your clients. I'm sure anyone who's interested, who's listening, whether you yourself have ADHD or you have friend or family that have ADHD, please be in touch. The information for how to get in touch with us will be around the podcast and on our website and on our social media. So you can book in a discovery call with Leila or a session with Leila, and you might not become an activist yourself, but you will be emboldened to work with your strengths with Leila's help. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me to this podcast.
Thanks, Leila.
All the best.
Thank you for listening to the Disability Foundation podcast. If you'd like to know more about what we do and how we serve our community, please check out our website at tdf.org.uk or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. Links to our website and social media are in the show notes below, and transcripts are available on our website.